Hello, boys and girls. How are you?
You know, today is going to be a wonderful day.
Today could be a wonderful day for many reasons. We might get mail from the postman. Or we might just get a song from Ace. Because I'm back.
I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all want
to
smile.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 60 of the Strickland Mailbag Patreon edition. I guess that's the title. This is my first time doing this. I'm Drew. Schwinn's not here. He decided to bail on you guys because he sucks. And when I asked him why is he not doing the podcast, he said, quote unquote, to spend more time with your mom. So that's what we got here. So it's true. And we're going to have a rotating cast of characters now for the Patreon mailbag. It's going to be great.
But before we get started, I have to make an announcement that Strickland has a Patreon. You can subscribe to it. There's a number of tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland every Friday that I do with Prez. You also get access to the new look mailbag that will be hosted by Drew Steele. You also get access to the Strickland Discord, where the conversation about basketball and the Knicks never stops. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to my solo pod Stricken Roll that I do every week. You also get access to wonderful weekly articles by Jack Huntley and Matthew Miranda, two of the best in the business. There's further tiers, $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. Those come with a variety of additional benefits like live watch parties, listening in on pod recordings, even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly. If you choose to subscribe, thank you very much. And if not, still thank you very much. None of this would be possible without you. So without further ado, let's get started.
Today, we have two very special guests to my left. It is, we probably should have discussed first how everyone wants to be introduced, but we'll do this right now. It is Derek. Derek, how's it going? If you don't know Derek, explain yourself because I'm going to butcher it. So where can you find you on Twitter? What do you do? What's your Zodiac sign?
What's up, Drew? What's up, Jeff? What's up, Patreon?
Yes, my name's Derek. Jeff's the other guest. So we'll get them.
Spoiler alert. you can find me at @D_Rife on Twitter. I've been writing for the Strickland for, I guess, a couple of years now. You've probably seen my snark tweets on the interwebs. Big fan of the Kristaps Porzingis trade, although I think the door is open for him to return.
He may come back to return.
if you've seen RJ Barrett stats, that's one of my babies as well.
I do enjoy RJ Barrett stats. That shit cracks me up. It's so... So much. There's so good, like cherry pick stuff. I'm just like, this is perfect.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's memery, but at the end of the day, it gets the job done.
Yeah, it's all love. And our second guest to my right, it is. I don't even know how to pronounce your last name, Jeff. Is it?
Oh, it's Rasmussen.
Rasmussen. Isn't there a U there though?
Oh yeah, I'm butchering it. I'm butchering my own last name, which is a great way to start with this. But yes, it's like Musin. Sorry.
It's all good. And Jeff, where can everyone find you?
Oh yeah, I'm Frank Barrett 11-9. I was gonna say 9-11, but yeah, I always forget that it's not 9-11 for obvious reasons. Yeah, at Frank Barrett 11-9.
Okay, we never forget 9-11.
Right? Yeah, so. We can never forget. But yeah, Frank Barrett 11-9 on Twitter. I'm the person who still is alone on Frank Ntilikina Island and loves Emmanuel Quickly. That's it's always going to be me. And I do a lot of the clip threads for the Strickland account sometimes, like during the season, obviously. I did Summer League last year too, but that's what I do.
Summer League clips.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I will say, I have to say, I agree with your temperament there. But as someone who actually doesn't follow college basketball that closely, you know, you went into summer league thinking, like Quentin Grimes, for example, the read on him, or the scouting report on him was, here's someone who has a nice jump shot, will defend well, but that's it. And like, he might have been bad value at 25. But I watched him for four games in summer league, and you know, not to toot my own horn here, but it was like, okay, he can already do stuff off the dribble. His shot release is so high, he's going to be able to shoot at an NBA level immediately. And his defense is actually being underrated, even though people touted it, because he's versatile and he works his ass off. Like, it was obvious to me from day one that he was ready to go. So there is some value there. I'm not going to say, you know, I was 100% right, but I really enjoyed doing it, and I'm definitely going to do it again this year.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So it looks like Jeff doesn't follow college basketball. Derek, do you follow any college basketball?
I do not. when I was at school, we weren't a big college basketball team. We did make the tournament once, but I was able to basically get front row seats every time. Northwestern Wildcats, go Cats, baby. And since then, I don't think I've really watched a lick of college basketball.
That's amazing. I think college basketball is an inferior product, and I don't watch it. And we have draft stuff we have to answer, and it's going to be wonderful because I don't know anything. It looks like none of us do. So get ready, guys, for the Patreon, guys. This is the content you're paying for. So we're just going to get right into it. We got a bunch of questions from the Patreon. I have it in the order that they were asked. And that's how we're going to read them. I'm not going to section them off in any sort of like grouping. Like, this is what you guys, the patrons, have provided us. And yeah, so we're going to get right into it. I got to pull up my screen for the questions. Okay, our first question, guys, is from Far Off the Mark. And this is, and he said, question for the first Drew edition of the mailbag. Rank these players Julius had the biggest issue playing alongside last season and briefly explain why. And his choices are RJ, Mitch, IQ, and Evan. So Evan Fournier. So I'm going to throw it to Derek first. If you were to pick one guy, who's the guy that Julius Randle like really had you thought that Julius Randle had a big problem playing with?
For me, it's always Mitchell Robinson. It's been Mitchell Robinson, regardless of any sort of body language type aspects of it. They've just never really quite clicked as a fit for one another, especially when Randle is not defending the perimeter or shooting from the perimeter. It just really hasn't worked for whatever reason. I actually pulled this one up. Guess how many passes Julius Randle threw to Mitchell Robinson all of last season? Because this data exists.
It does. It's on NBA stats. I'm going to say 36.
Oh, yeah. Go for it, Jeff.
Jeff, what's your guess?
I'm going to assume it's way lower based on his response. I mean, I would have guessed.
So it's higher. It's higher. But so they played. Let's see how many games they played together. They played 67 games together. He threw 120 passes to Mitchell Robinson. This is not assists. This is just
passes.
But wait.
So it's less than two passes.
I don't think you played 71 games, though.
Yeah, I guess that makes more sense. I was thinking of it differently. I apologize. that was a very stupid answer. Yeah,
I'm mixing up, which is insane. His starting center, less than two passes a game. He had 20 assists to Mitchell Robinson, which means less than one out of every three games. Julius Randle, who is the assist leader for the Knicks, threw an assist to Mitchell Robinson.
Interesting. Okay, so do you have the stats up?
Yeah, I got him right in front of me.
You know what? We can actually answer this question with actual data, which is going to be really impressive. Okay, so it looks like
– I hope this isn't the way these people want the Patreon to go. Maybe it is the way they want it to go. This is my
podcast now, baby. This is what you get. Guys, this is why.
If you go by net rating, then technically Randle and Barrett had a worse net rating combined. Randle and Robinson are not close behind – or not far behind –
which makes sense because the starting lineup was a complete disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
It also makes sense because of the nature of Tibbs' substitutions. Like, if you look at the starting lineup's net ratings, they're all very similar because Tibbs basically employs a hockey shift substitution pattern. So, like, they're all just playing together all the time, which is, in my opinion, one of the worst things he tends to do. Sorry to cut you off, Derek, but I'll let you get back to it. But yeah, agree. I think that Randall and Mitch and Randall and RJ being very similar makes sense because, like, think about Mitch's substitution pattern. It's always he starts the game, he gets subbed out with 5 minutes left in the first, and then he finishes the half, and then he starts the third, he gets subbed out with 5 minutes left in the third, and then if he's playing well, he finishes the game. You know, Tibbs likes to feel the end of the games out. But the point being, I would wager to guess that a huge percentage of Mitch and Randall's minutes came with RJ on the floor.
Yes, that I know as well, because if you go to, like, PvP stats and you start, like, filtering out the sections, like, you can definitely see, like, there's barely any non-overlap between, like, Randall and RJ. And
so if two of the top four, I guess, minimum 500 minutes played, the four worst duos by net rating this year for the Knicks all include Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, RJ Barrett is the worst, followed by Kemba Walker, Julius Randle, followed by Kemba Walker, Mitchell Robinson, followed by Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier. So Kemba Walker and the four guys he played with in the starting lineup.
Yeah, definitely. So I think with actually all these players, except for Quickly, when Randall played, because when Randall did play with, like, the younger guys, he did run a little bit more and along those lines. So, like, if I don't even think we can even rank, it would just basically be like RJ, Evan, and Mitch, because he and Fournier didn't have the same chemistry as him and Bullock, even though I think Fournier actually made more threes and more assists. The chemistry didn't feel right. So it's like the starting lineup with Randall, and then, like, it worked with IQ because Quickly ran the show. And it, I think that kind of shows it. It just, like, I just think the starting lineup with all those guys together just didn't work with Randall. And we saw what worked, and Tibbs still was just like, Tibbs and the team were just like, nah, let's just keep running IQ off the bench.
Yeah, Quickly is the only one that had a positive net rating with Randall of those guys. And actually, of all of these lineups with at least 500 minutes, Quickly appears in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He appears in 6 duos. All 6 of them have a positive net rating.
Quickly has some of the best on-off numbers for the Knicks
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Last year, too.
But both seasons. It's, oh my God, it's so frustrating.
we're going to get into it because eventually we're going to get into people, well, not people, one person, Hugs, making fun of my love for RAPM, which is the stat that loves Emmanuel Quickly, like, absolutely loves him. So,
we'll as do all of its derivations.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, every single advanced metric is like play Quickly all the minutes, and it's still like nothing. But
yeah, I was gonna say, don't they all, like, LeBron loves him? They just all love Quickly. I don't. And when you watch, I just don't get it. I'm sorry, like, I don't want to go on a rant this early, but, like, I don't get how there's a contingent of Knicks fans who doesn't just see, like, we were playing one way when he didn't play, and then we play another way when he does play. I don't understand. It's like I'm watching a different game than some of these people.
It is. It was two separate teams and two separate games that the Knicks played. It was, like, the starting lineup game, the slow pace with Randall. Quickly and Obi come in. They start running. RJ gets some time with him. The three of them look really well together. They all complement each other. You know, some is greater. You know, the whole is greater than the parts or whatever it is with those three. And then they just go back. So, all right.
If you don't mind, I just want to push back slightly against something you said about grouping the starters.
Fine, hurry up, push back.
I think we can separate Fournier a little bit. I think you're 100% right. I think you're 100% right that he didn't have the chemistry that Randall didn't have the chemistry with Fournier that he had with Bullock. But I think a decent amount of that is because Fournier actually tried to create off the bounce some. And, like, Randall was like, no, if you're going to be a two-man partner with me, you're gonna run around and you're going to catch and shoot, and that's it. And Bullock was more than happy to do that.
That's actually a very fair point, because I think that's the one thing Fournier was trying to get at and was frustrating. He's like, we need to move the ball. We need to do different things. Like, that's things he talked about all the time. I feel like I'm alone on, like, Fournier Island. Because I'm just like, he's good.
So, actually, if you look at – so I'm on per36.com, which is great. They have this thing called the passing wheel. This is where I – This is where I found these passing stats. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle threw more passes to Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier off passes from Julius Randle shot 42% from three this season on 260 attempts, which is a higher percentage and more attempts than Reggie Bullock last season, which is shocking.
It's shocking, and it's also like one of the things I think is underrated. When you look at like when you draw out 3-point shooting, like how you're supposed to, like over like multiple seasons, Fournier is in like it's like Steph is in his own category, but he's always in the tier below Steph. It's like he's an elite shooter. The Knicks finally have an elite 3-point shooter, and I don't know.
Steve Novak erasure will not be tolerated.
Well, you know, I mean, Novak was the greatest, but Fournier's doing this on volume, dude. Or we can play. So, all right, we're going to go to the next question. This is from I Know Playing with a with a Gulliness. I think we all want to know who Drew's top 10 prospects are for the Knicks in this draft. More of my draft takes. Then who is my least favorite player in this year's draft? And who will make you more disappointed the Knicks take him? Okay, so, guys. This is my draft knowledge. You're going to be really impressed by this. I want the Knicks to pick Johnny Bryant. Not Johnny Bryant. That's the assistant coach. Johnny, you know what I'm saying? Johnny Davis, because he was in a Taco Bell commercial. Then there's a guy from Arizona who's Canadian.
Mathurin.
So he's another guy. He's number two on my draft board. And then I also found out last week that there's another Canadian player called Shaedon Sharpe, who played for Kentucky. He's number three on my draft board because I just want all of Team Canada in New York. Like, that's my goal, is to just have all of Team Canada. So if the Knicks can find a way to get SGA and Wiggins in New York to play with RJ and, like, Kelly Olynyk, not Tristan Thompson, but someone else, I am all in on that. And that's really – and then I don't know. Are there any centers that are potentially available? I don't want the Knicks to pick like a center at 11. I feel like that'd be really bad.
It's literally the only thing I care about is not using a premium draft pick on a center. I would also kind of prefer not a point guard either, unless you're getting Ivy or some stud who you think is legit.
We're gonna get into Ivy in a moment, but yeah, like I'm not doing those things. That like just get the wing.
Yeah, yeah. Just as a general principle, I want the wing. And Shaedon Sharpe, I'm totally out on because Tyrese said he would trade Obi and next year's first to move up to 7 for him from 11. So I'm out on that.
Well, you could just say you're out on Tyrese, and the answer is always
that was the implication.
Yeah, the answer is always yes. We're out on Tyrese. Of course, he would have a dumbass take like that. So sorry, Gillian. That's all the draft talk I cannot get you. I'd just be disappointed in a center. I think there's a guy called Mark Jones.
Mark Williams Smith. From Duke.
There you go. He's a center. I don't.
Mark Jones is the guy who takes over for Mike Breen when he has COVID and drops stupid ass catchphrases like
he's always talking about his Gucci bag.
Oh man, but yeah. So yeah, Mark, whoever I said, that guy, just don't pick him. He sounds like a center. He's probably good. I couldn't tell you what his game is. Just don't pick him at 11. If you want to drop back, I guess, if he's available at 20, sure, right? Because the idea, because Mitchell Robinson may leave, you probably need to bring in someone who's decent, but like, don't, not at 11, just whatever wing fall. Someone's going to fall, right? Just take whoever falls.
So. Yeah, they've done a really good job of taking wings or guards who, in theory, can't be played off the floor like against elite teams.
Like Kevin and Knox.
We should okay. This administration has done a good job with it. Like their last two drafts have been so good. So sure, if someone with like a super high ceiling falls to them, okay. Or if they think they can get like a good value to trade up, but if they're drafting at 11, I think we should trust the administration to draft someone who's like a wing who can defend and shoot. And it seems very clear that that's what they value.
I agree. Derek, do you want to add anything before I move on to the very important next question?
Nothing of value.
Perfect. Okay, next question is from Omar Will Fight Julius. How have you been with your Peloton workouts, and what is your personal off-season health and fitness goals? Okay, guys, are you guys Peloton? Are you part of the Peloton cult at all?
No, but I'm a supporter.
Okay, Jeff?
I am not either. I mean, I'm not a supporter. I just don't really care. Cool. I don't have one.
You're a Peloton centrist.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, so I do have a Peloton, and unfortunately for Omar, I don't use it as much as I should be using it. So that's been kind of a waste of money, unfortunately, but whatever. And then fitness goals. Do you guys have any fitness goals? I think my fitness goals are right now is just trying to be as consistent as I've been for the past like year and keeping that up in terms of just like whether it's running, walking. I do like my lifting once a week because like really difficult for me to get more than like two or three sessions in. But like that's what I'm doing, riding my bike to work, all that sort of stuff. So those are my goals. My goal is also another like a small thing would be getting over the 30-inch box jumps. I finally broke that the other week. And I was proud of that, and I'm just like, I gotta get more. I gotta get up to 40. So
my goal is to stand up during the commercials and
stand up during the commercials. Jeff.
I don't want to say serious, but I have some pretty legit goals for myself. I'm in a wedding in like 2 months, so you know that's always a good time to try to look your best. Don't want to embarrass one of your closest friends, and just in general, I'm trying to be healthier overall, be more active. Not a lot of people know this because this is kind of not a burner, but I don't give away a lot of personal info. I am a semi-former professional poker player. That's what I did for work from when I was 18 through, you know, I'm 32 now. So I've basically been doing that for 15 years, and it has a lot of perks. You know, it's nice to be able to work for yourself, but a downside is it's a very sedentary lifestyle unless you make a strong effort for it to not be. So now that I'm trying to sort of gear out of that, I'm trying to just be more active in general and be healthier in general.
No, it's understandable. Were you someone who like wore the sunglasses and you had the AirPods on?
I have definitely as like a younger kid. Like I traveled to the Bahamas when I was 19 to play a poker tournament, and I definitely had like some stupid glasses, you know, when I was playing that. But the older you got, you just sort of sit there and enjoy it.
Oh, man, that's absolutely amazing. So, how good are you at counting cards? Oh no, did we lose Jeff?
No, I'm here.
No, we didn't. Okay. So can you count cards?
No, that's probably the weirdest thing about me is I have no interest and don't play really any of like your typical, I don't even know what they're called. Like just the games you'd find in a regular casino. You know, I don't play blackjack. I don't know much about blackjack. I don't know much about gambling in general besides sports betting.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, guys? This is a perfect segue for me doing an ad for DraftKings. So I gotta read this exactly.
You could be like Jeff.
Guys, you could be like Jeff. And you know what? Are you ready for the NBA champs to be crowned? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Join the finals action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA bet and get $150 in free bets instantly. So you guys can do some insane parlay. Like Steph's going to drop 10 threes. Clay is going to score 60 points again. You know, and with a DraftKings same day parlay, you could do just that. And you can turn anything into, I don't know, thousands of dollars. Like they said right here, like a customer. I don't know who this customer is, but he placed a $5 bet, same game parlay, and won over $5,000. And another thing that was highlighted there, I have to go, boom. So call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code TBPN. Make any $5 bet during the NBA Finals and get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code TBPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Then, all the good stuff. Like, minimum age and restrictions apply. If you have a gambling problem, I would suggest you call 1-800-GAMBLER and do all that sort of stuff too. So that's my ad read. Congrats. Bringing in the money now. Sorry you had to bear. Everyone at the bear with me with that. So DraftKings. You can also type in the promo code Doug. I don't know, DraftKings. I don't know what it'll do, but if you want to type it in, go for it. All right. Next question. I think I only have to do that once. So next question.
People are paying Patreon. They don't need all these ads. Come on. Come on, Alex.
Oh, that's actually a good point. Guys, if you patrons, if you're upset about ads in this episode, complain at Alex Wolf, the Alex Wolf on Twitter, and tell him you don't want ads anymore. All right. So we have another question that's related to me from Jax365, Tibbs to go to the Hague. Should the strict court hold a campaign to get Alan Hahn to accept your friend request on Peloton? So since you guys probably have no idea, Alan Hahn came on an episode with Schwinn and I back in the day on a podcast because Alan Hahn was really adamant that the Knicks needed the trade for Russell Westbrook to bring in veteran leadership and all that sort of stuff. So he came on the show to really argue with us. And then he was like, oh, is that a Peloton in the back? And I was like, yeah, man, I got my Peloton. He goes, I got a Peloton too. And then we gave each other our screen names. And I'm like, oh shit. You know, like, hey, Alan Hahn wants to, we can do some workout stuff. That'd be pretty cool. Whatever. Right. Followed him, never followed me back. Never followed me back. So I have a grudge now with Alan Hahn for that. So yeah, that's the story. No, guys, do not do a campaign to get Alan Hahn to follow me on a Peloton bike that I barely use anymore. So don't bother with that. And then which player does Drew love that is terrible and his favorite metric? My favorite metric is RAPM. I'm pretty sure like David Nwaba has a terrible RAPM. So that's probably a guy. Franks isn't that high. It's still a plus, but it's not that high.
I would venture to guess RJ Barrett isn't so hot.
Yeah, so that's actually a good one. RJ Barrett is probably my favorite player with a really bad adjusted on-off plus minus thing. So yeah, RJ will be that guy. I'm assuming you guys aren't like diving into like NBA shot charts for RAPM to be like, who's your favorite low guy? So we're just going to move on unless you guys really have someone.
I could pull it up if you want.
No. Next question.
I feel like you nailed it with RJ. That's just such a good answer. And like, it's also a very good encapsulation why even a statistic as good as RAPM can be flawed, because I'm sure we'll get into
We're going to get into later because it's fucking hugs. So Fazzle, and then Fazzle has a question, and then it's followed up by Schwinn. Interesting enough, he had enough time to write down a question for us while hanging out with my mom, I guess. So from Fazzle, if the front office think Ivy is their guy, what are you comfortable giving up, and what do we think the Kings will want? And then Schwinn had a question that's related to that, and he goes, listening to the mailbag last week, you guys said that IQ or Obi plus the 11th pick plus a 2023 top five first-round pick, you know, protected first-round pick, to move up to four for Ivy would be too much of an overpay. But if you think Ivy truly is a star in the making with lead guard potential without any concerns about size, isn't that actually a pretty cheap cost to acquire him? So I'm going to blend those kind of things in. So you guys kind of heard the trade proposal that was suggested. Myself, Alex, and Marty Wilpon were all like, it's an overpay in terms of like the Knicks, and the Kings should take it. We're obviously not draft people, but I do think Schwinn has a pretty legitimate point there, right? And so, and along with Fazzle as well, right? Like, if Ivy really is the guy, they should move up. And giving up like Obi or Quickly in those picks, I feel it is a no-brainer, right? Wouldn't you say if Ivy really is the guy?
So I think if we're talking about someone who – talk about lead guard potential, someone who's going to be an above-average NBA player, pick and roll ball handling, isolation, passing, no concerns about size, someone with like 6'11 wingspan. Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty impressive player that I'd want on my team. And everything I just said also applies to Emmanuel Quickley, who
that's true too.
Been up in this trade. So the short answer to that deal is I would pretty much be a strong no if we're giving up IQ and OB and a pick.
No, it was just either or of those two. So it would be either Quickley or OB, 11, and then a top five protected 20.
Got it. I would do that with OB personally. Mm-hmm. I like OB, but I don't think he's a guy. I think he's a guy. I don't think he's a the guy. I don't think he's a starter on a championship team based on what I've seen. I think IQ can be that guy. So, again, this is with me knowing very peripheral amounts of information about Jaden Ivey, but I'm not willing to give up IQ and a pick for him.
Jeff?
The reason that IQ is a weird addition in that, or would be a weird lead in that trade from the Knicks' perspective, is because, in my opinion, Quickley is someone who has proven he could play with a guy like Ivy. Now, this isn't to say that Obi couldn't, but with the Kings already having Fox and Mitchell, would they really be trading, like, to move down from 4 to 11 just to get a guy like Quickley, who at best would be a six man for them? It definitely seems like, from a mutuality standpoint, the Knicks should have Obi in that deal, and the Kings would probably prefer to have Obi in that deal. So,
but Obi, yeah, and Sabonis?
That's a good point too. That's a fair point. So I guess I don't see why they would. I guess I just think Obi's more volatile in general. I agree with what you were just saying, Derek, about, you know, preferring Quickley to Obi, but I still think at this point it's probable that Quickley has the higher ceiling, maybe. Obi has the higher ceiling. Apologies. I wouldn't do this with Quickley in it because I like him so much as a player. And I agree that I would do it with Obi.
Yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that. I know you like that. How long you been back, man? I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me.